Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams. Ronan, I can hear myself. Sorry, guys. I have... Ronan? Sorry, guys. I am live, and I can hear myself. Oh, now I no longer hear myself. Let's start this over again. So, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what I want for you. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you would like to call in and talk with me today, that number is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, and any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. Food is actually the solution to the problem. The real problem is whatever is eating at you. And that is what we are here to address. Because when you deal with the underlying problem, then the solution, which is binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, stops for good. Okay, so last week I was giving you some tips on how to feel better about yourself while you're in the process of either losing weight or things that you don't body. I have some tips. I compared myself to Lizzo. Why you might think, Nicole, the number here is 323-203-0815. Nicole on Instagram is asking 323-203-0815. Feel free to call. What do I have in common with Lizzo? Well, Lizzo feels really good about herself, even though she doesn't look like what some people think a singer should look like, a performer should look like. She doesn't wear the things that people think that she should wear given her body size, but she prances around in leotards and she calls herself a bad bee and she is just full of confidence. What do I have in common with Lizzo? Well, people are always telling me that I don't look like a psychoanalyst should look. Apparently, I should be 70 years old with a beard that I would like stroke like this and, you know, be very serious. Well, guess what? Don't try to conform to what other people think you can be, because Lizzo is amazingly talented and it doesn't matter what she's wearing. She's amazingly talented. And I believe that you can be fashionable and glamorous and female and a really good psychoanalyst and help a lot of people. So that's what I have in common with Lizzo. So here's some more food for thought about how to feel good about you, even if you're not feeling good about your body. Remember that no one has ever hated themselves into loving themselves. Criticizing your body never leads to more self-esteem. So stop bullying yourself. Stop being mean to yourself. Stop pointing out what you think is wrong with your life, with your body, with anything. Focus on encouraging and supporting and being kind to yourself. That is the key to feeling good. And guess what? When you feel good, you stop eating for comfort or distraction or to numb yourself. So that's how that works. Then a quote that I super love, it is, if you talk to your friends the way you talk to your body, you'd have no friends left. That is a quote from Marsha Hutchinson. She is a body image expert. I think she's... She in England? Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, her name is definitely Marsha Hutchinson, and she says, if you talk to your friends the way you talk to your body, you'd have no friends left. Pretty much sums it up. My other point is, be beautiful like you, not beautiful like someone else. Be handsome like you. Someone unique specialness, your unique qualities, your unique beauty inside and out. And don't compare yourself to anyone else, because comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. Loving yourself is the key to joy. And on that note, we have Carly Gash on the line. Hi, Carly Gash. Hello. I don't have Carly Gash, Ronan. And also, I'm hearing from Nicole that she just tried calling and it kept ringing through. So I don't know if we have an issue.
Hello.
We have Carly Gash. Maybe Ronan, you can help Nicole get in line for the next call. Hi, Carly Gash.
Good morning, Dr. Nina.
Good morning, Carly Gash.
I just heard a little bit about Lizzo. And I understand the girl. And I started listening today as well, one psychologist who talks about
a star, like the feeling when you feel like a star and stuff. She's essentially talking about when your intellect is higher than people surrounding you, and they always push you down by saying, oh, you need to be like less, what do they say it in English? How do you say it in English? Less arrogant or something. And I think in many ways that's one of the theme of my life. When I get really frustrated when people... my family used to call me that. They even called me like, oh, you're the queen. Watch out, your crown is falling. Or like princess on the pea bed. Or how do you say it in English? The fairy tale.
Princess on the pea. You're saying is that in your family, anything you wanted that was good, anything that you wanted to celebrate, anytime you felt good about yourself, that was actually disparaged and put down.
Well, it's not even me feeling good about, me feeling good about myself. It's me being me. Because, like, in general, I am I'm very good. Like, whenever I go, whatever I do, I get it fast. I get results. And, you know, usually more than average, sometimes, like, exceptional and fast. Some people spend, like, years on it, but I come and I do it, boom, and then they hate me. But like, well, now I understand that it's not my problem is if I'm better than you. But man, it took me 36 years and I'm still struggling with it. I'm still struggling and I still feel guilty to the point that I downplay myself. Like, again, we discussed that I keep that connection and I keep my success down and I don't hold to my success. I get it fast, but then I lose it, or I usually sabotage it and I ruin it myself in all areas of my life to keep the connection to initial family, to be part of them. But
yes.
Then it's like both ways, you know.
If you feel guilty about feeling quote unquote too good, one way of making sure you never feel too good, quote unquote, is to never feel good about your body, never feel good about your weight, never feel good about your life. Then you to have an attachment to suffering as a way to stave mm-hmm. off guilt. And by the way, I want to shout out to my daughter who's 13. She should be in school, but she is watching me on Instagram Live right now. And she's
goodness.
So hi Kavana.
Hi Kavana. This is so cool. Oh my God, such an inspiration. At the age of 13, being interested in psychological topics. And I'm actually very hopeful about the future of our world, because this generation of young people, 13 and like above, like, you know, this they are so like aware, and I'm really Kavana, if you're listening to me, guys, I'm really relying on you because they're so aware and they want to do things right. And they're so emotionally mature. That's what I feel from them.
Well, I just want to interject one more thing because we should all have this kind of attitude. My daughter just wrote to me on Instagram. Hi, I'm smart and I finished early.
I love it. I love it, Kavana. Thank you.
Hey, I own who I am. And if we can.
I'm sorry, I cut you. Sorry.
And to be able to say, hey, I'm smart. I'm smart and I'm cool with that. I'm smart and I finish early. So I'm very proud of you, honey. Kavana, thank you for modeling a way of feeling good about yourself without being arrogant, especially as women were, and I think that's what you're getting to, Carly Gash, in your family and perhaps in your culture in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
It's like, don't shine too bright.
Yeah, well, everywhere. And Kavana wrote it so timely, and just what she wrote, I'm smart and I finished early. I used to do that too at her age, but it's just perfect example how you supported her right now. But I used to get like, almost nobody. I was told like, oh, don't be arrogant, don't be too cocky, you know, this kind of stuff. And yes, actually, yesterday I was thinking about you and about your daughters, about your older daughter too, that like, oh my God, they're just so lucky to have a mom like that, like who gives them tools and who just really acknowledges them. And I was thinking how my life could be different if I had this kind of support. And then I was so sad. But then I said, well, it didn't happen in my case. So now it's time to become this mother to myself, or develop, like really work hard. Not every person in the world gets everything, every aspect of life covered. Yes,
but
I do
have it now.
Support, but
and you have
I have it now. And I told myself, well, the good part that I have those brains, I have those talents, that's the good part. Yes, I was pretty much damaged psychologically.
And you have that support now. You may not have had it when you grew up. You certainly did not have it when you grew up. You did not have it in your family, but you have it now. And to be able to say, yes, I didn't have it, and when I wished I could have had it. And by the way, I am so jealous of my daughters that they get to have me as a mother. I'm just telling you, I totally get it. Sometimes
not
I'm just
only
like,
you are jealous. I'm jealous.
I'm jealous of my own. I'm jealous of my own daughters. You have to come to terms with, hey, I did not get what I should have gotten, right? Which is true of you.
I did come to terms.
And you are getting it now, and you can give it to yourself.
Yeah. And I can feel it. I can really feel the support. And I was thinking a lot about this, you know, family attachment and how we feel guilty, especially in my culture. If anyone from my country hears me talking like that, oh my goodness, I don't know. My head would be cut, I don't know, verbally something. Because in my culture, you cannot say things like that about parents. You cherish them. They are your gods, and you never even discuss their flaws and stuff. But it's impossible. You need to do this. So I really feel the support right now. And I really understood the notion that if your initial family was not like a good, like it didn't work for you, it's okay. Go find your family now. And it's really okay. Like not, I understood that actually not every parent loves their child. And I also want to mention about Lizzo, Kavana, me. Yes, there are people with higher intellectual abilities, whatever, or like even emotional. I know that I'm kinder than many people. And those are my qualities. I don't know. Maybe I was born like that. Maybe I chose to be like that. Looking at the other examples, maybe my brain made that decision to go this way. But yes, that's true. And yes, I will be good in many ways than other people. And I'm honestly learning to accept it because I'm still shaking because, oh my God, I just can't stand this jealousy part. But I guess it's my job to learn to tolerate it and somehow deal with it, because I noticed when I own my success, those people, even though they want to be jealous, they don't touch me. When I'm firm in my decision and owning my success and saying, yes, this is me. Yes, I'm going to go and rock it. And like, well, I'm doing it and I'm going to do it. Then other people, they don't have problem with that. Once I go into this energy when I am still doing my success, but I feel guilty, just the way I felt in my initial family, then those people attack me. They kind of feel it emotionally, and they kind of have to, they emotionally catch it very quickly, and they kind of make this decision in their head to go and either say something or attack or create some obstacle for me. But so, I'm like very firm, and I'm like kind. But now I want to be like, want to learn not to be like, yes, bitch, I'm successful, so it's shit, you know, not this kind of attitude.
So Carly Gash, you want to be as you were to my daughter, who you were just talking to a few moments ago. You want to be to yourself as you are to other people. And I know because I see how you are in the groups that you're in with me. I see how you show up, how you're so kind, how you're so encouraging, how you're so supportive. You have it in you to be all of those things. You just have to direct it towards yourself. So you have been treating yourself as you were treated, and treating other people as you would have wished to be treated. And now it is time to start treating yourself as you treat others. And, you know, yes, mourn that you're never going to get what you wanted or should have gotten. And
come to
terms with that.
It does suck. It does suck.
Yes.
No fun in that at all. But, like, I guess as you told me that's the way out, I'm doing it. And it honestly, it's painful. It's really, really painful.
Hold on, Carly, I guess. And you can tolerate the pain, and you can hold the pain until you don't feel it anymore. Pain does not last. It only lasts if you don't let yourself feel it. But if you allow yourself to express it and feel it and think it and feel it, and you go through a mourning process, you no longer are in pain. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, to be able to know that when it hurts, you will get past that. It will not keep hurting.
Thank you. Dr. Nina, I want to learn to have the success and like interact with people who may have any problems with me, like performing well. I want to be able to own it, have it, and like in a kind way, you know. How do I do this? By being kind to myself?
Well, yes, you have to practice being kind to yourself, being as you are to others. You have to be to yourself, and that is kind, and that is encouraging, and that is supportive. Mm-hmm. So, Carly Gash, I got to jump onto another call, but I just want to encourage you, think about it. If you wouldn't say it to somebody else, don't say it to yourself. And if you don't know how to be kind to yourself, think about what you would say to someone else. Those two things, that's going to help.
Okay. Thank you. I'll go and practice it in my life this week. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you, Carly Gash, for always calling and for letting us know how you're doing.
Oh, thank you for having the program and like generously sharing your help with us. It's really precious and priceless. And you changed my life so much. For real. I don't know. I owe you royalty for sure. If I ever become rich or whatever, I just owe you a percentage from that for sure.
You owe me nothing. You owe yourself everything. So go be nice to yourself.
Oh, I love you. Thank you so much.
Bye, Carly Gash.
Bye.
And I think we have Nicole. Nicole? No, she's not. Wait,
Hello.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
Hi. Good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Thanks. Nice to hear your voice. I know. It's been a whirlwind. And I just thought it might be good timing to call you and hear your voice and just kind of pick your brain about something. So recently got engaged. I don't know if I've called since then.
I am so thrilled for you and so happy for you. And that is wonderful news. I did know because you did message me about it. So I know that but the people who have been listening, who haven't heard you for a while, will be very thrilled.
Yeah.
Believe me,
I
still get messages going, whatever happened to Nicole? She used to call all the time. What happened? So they'll be so happy to hear that you are. Wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks. So actually my question has to kind of do with my fiance. So, you know, he's been very supportive of like my body image stuff and like my food stuff. But I think he's come to a place where he's concerned. He's like, your body is the future vessel for our kids, our children. And I think that going from, so before I met you, Dr. Nina, I mean, you know, via the radio show or whatnot, I was seeing a nutritionist who was like, these are the things you should eat, these are the things you shouldn't eat. And then, you know, I had a lot of anticipation of deprivation. So when I would eat something or see something that I was on the do not eat list, I would like want to eat all of it. And so, you know, you taught me to be more instinctual, to listen to my body and to kind of just listen to what my body needs, protein, carbs, whatever it is, fat, and just eat whatever I want in moderation. And then that way I won't like want a ton of what I think I shouldn't eat, bad foods or whatever. So he's been like kind of on me and saying that like I don't eat nutritious foods, and like he's worried about me and he thinks I don't eat, and like I'm just like in a weird place where I feel I'm like listening to my body and like he's kind of judging me, I feel. I don't know, and I want to like be this perfect person.
Well, you will fail. Because you cannot be a perfect person. And so just how about make an intention to just take really good care of yourself. What he's doing is it sounds like he's food policing you out of some perhaps misguided concern. And he sounds way too invested and way too interested in what you are eating.
Yeah. I agree. Is it legitimate though that like my food stuff affects our relationship?
Well, what you're telling me is that you are listening to your body. You are eating health, you know, and by the way, not everything that you eat should be perfectly healthy. That's also what gets you in trouble, that you're eating a variety of foods and you're listening to your body, and if you're doing that and eating until you're satisfied and not having this I should eat this and I shouldn't eat that, which was driving you crazy. You're just eating in what sounds like more normally. What's the problem?
Yeah. So I think so too. The one thing I have not included in all of this is I think I mentioned on one of the shows that I recently in the past year have been on a medication, Adderall, that kind of also suppressing my appetite. And I don't know if I'm using it as kind of a band-aid to kind of help with the eating stuff, because I can go like a few hours, like it helps you not feel hunger. So maybe I'm not really listening to myself because of the medication. So then I don't feel guilty eating the foods I actually want to eat in normal quantities, because I'm like, okay, well, I limited my food intake. So I guess I didn't give you the whole story. That's the other piece.
Aha. So more.
And
so
maybe, sorry. It's maybe more complicated than I made out to be. So okay, that's the other piece of it.
Your, you're still playing a bit of a game with yourself and with food, as if you can earn the right to have what you want because you're not eating. So he's concerned about that, which is understandable. So rather than have a conversation with him about, hey, back off, am I eating? Maybe you want to have a conversation with him about your, what's motivating that. And it sounds like there's still some conflicts about food and your body. Not like it was before, but it sounds like you still have a lack of trust in yourself to make good choices for yourself. And there's still... you're a bit in your head about what you should or shouldn't eat. You're just letting yourself have some food because you're not eating.
Yes. That is it. And I don't know what to do about that. I don't know how to go about, I don't know how to tackle that part. I don't know what to do.
Didn't you mention that you were seeing a therapist?
Yeah.
If that therapist has some kind of a specialty in eating disorders or anything like that, the therapist, because he's seeing the behavior, but the behavior comes from somewhere. The behavior comes from some conflict, and of course I think about how your mother, if she ate something quote unquote bad, would say, oh, I should be covered with dirt, meaning I should be dead. So you have all these messages about how wrong it is to eat certain things. You also have the idea that you were more lovable or more loved when you were thinner. So all of these messages that I'm recalling as we're talking may be contributing to what's going on with food.
Right. So it sounds like it's not a simple fix like, oh, this is the anticipation of deprivation, or I want you to eat peanut butter every day, or it sounds like it may be a little bit more complex than that.
Exactly. It sounds like there's some fear that yes, Adderall, when you're taking Adderall, a lot of people take Adderall so that they don't eat, that you you are saying, well, I'm not hungry, but you're not hungry because you're taking Adderall. And so that is perhaps avoiding the deeper conflict. What is your fear? Yeah. Is your anxiety?
Yeah. And I think something else I had mentioned to Dan, my fiance, is that when I feel hungry, I like get mad at myself. And so I know that's bad too. I don't know if there's anything to do about that, like anything I can start implementing today.
So I often think of eating disorders or disordered eating as a disorder of yearning, a disorder of relationship to yourself. So if you're getting mad at yourself for being hungry, why is that? What have you done wrong? And what you're essentially saying is you feel like you're mad at your body for being hungry. What's the crime?
Yeah, that's so true. What is the crime? There is no crime. You need fuel to function. Like a car can't run without gas. So like, why should I think that giving myself the fuel to do my daily things is bad or a crime? It's like, what my body needs. It needs fuel to function.
And that's properly. Logical. And that's logical. And what often drives us is not the logical, but the psychological. And the psychological is some kind of shame attached to hunger, some kind of shame attached to eating, which when I, again, think about our conversations previously, there was a lot of shame about your weight. There's a lot of shame in the family about making certain food choices. So it's
I think
it's about that.
The one thing that came to my mind too is just kind of my family, and like when someone in my family like eats too much or whatever, it was kind of like, oh my God, I ate so much shit. Like, why did I eat that or whatever? So I just don't know how to undo that. Like, if that's just, I guess, reprogram or just like talk it out, right? I don't know.
Yes, you have to deconstruct. Like, where did I learn? Where did you learn that it's something to apologize for?
Yeah.
Where did you learn that you do something wrong if you eat too much? Because everyone eats too much occasionally. Everyone eats dessert occasionally. I mean, that's part of life. But if you feel bad about yourself, as if you actually do something something bad, then you're personalizing something that ought not to be personalized. It's learned, and you can unlearn it, but got to figure out where you learned these ways of relating so that you can then unlearn it.
These ways of learning so I can unlearn them. Okay, I'm taking notes. Thank you so much, Dr. Nina. You always know what to say. You just get it.
Well, Nicole, I also wonder if you have some, because often when people get engaged, they go on this, this like, I'm going to look so good in my wedding dress, and I'm going to this, and I'm going to that. Is there anything about that that's a piece of this as well?
I don't think so, because I started Adderall about a year ago, and I have lost like five pounds, like 5 to 6 pounds. Well, I'm a small person, just for like the listeners. I'm like 5'2", so it's a lot on me. But like, people are noticing, wow, you lost weight. And
so could be a
could
be a fear of gaining it back or something like that.
Yeah, and so I actually even upped my dosage of Adderall because I felt like I was getting, second half of the day, as I was feeling the hunger, and I'm like, well, what if I can stay focused longer to work and not eat longer? So then I doubled my dosage, and now I'm trying to wean off. I mean, for 27 years, I functioned just fine without Adderall, so it's like, why do I need it now? But I do feel happier with it. So I don't know. Well, it is drugs. It is a drug. So
you are trying not to be hungry so that you will not eat, because you have some fear of being hungry and of eating that has been disguised by this Adderall. So whatever it is that's going on still needs to be addressed. You doubled your dose out of some kind of fear of being hungry, fear of hunger, fear of wanting, fear of yearning, fear of wanting more, fear of your own wishes, fear. I mean, we could really look at that more deeply, but that this is not about food. This is about your fear of hunger, your fear of hunger.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad I gave you something to think about. You may not have
you always do.
May not have answers right away, but at least when you're curious, you are more likely to find the answers.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Nice to hear your voice. And if I feel I want to hear your voice and call again, I will, if that's okay.
Nicole, you are welcome to call anytime you want to. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye.
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 I just want to address something that Josh said a little bit ago on Instagram. He said, don't be jealous of your daughters. It's bad. Well, jealousy is not bad. Envy is bad. And here's the difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy is, I wish I had what they have. I wish I had a mom who was, I can't do it with me. I've got to do it with like another thing. Let's just say someone loses weight, or someone buys a new car, buys a great new car, a new house, has a lot of money, and you're struggling. And your friend has all this abundance. You say, oh, I wish I had what my friend has. I didn't have to worry. I wish I had abundance. I wish I had the new car and the new house and the comfortable life. I wish I had that. That's jealousy. Envy is, I wish I had that, and I hate her for having it, or him, whatever gender this friend is in my imagination. I hate the other person. I hate the other person, and I want to destroy the other person. I want to take that person down. Envy is destructive. Envy is, Kyleen is saying, ask Nick to check in. I miss Nick. Kyleen, I miss Nick too. So Nick, if you are listening to this, please call in. Please call the show. Let me know and the listeners know how you are doing. It's been a while. I just wanted to briefly illustrate the difference between jealousy, which is benign and which we all feel, and envy, which is destructive, and that is bad, and that is, envy can cause a lot of problems. And then sometimes we feel guilty for when we have those jealous feelings, let's say, or even envious feelings. We feel guilty about something like that, but it makes us uncomfortable to think about, oh, we have jealousy, or oh, we want this, or we want that. So we can displace that guilt from guilt over, oh, I want what my friend has, or I want what that person has, to guilt over food. So now I have another caller. Hold on, let me just... Hi, caller. Let me just finish this thought, and then we'll be right with you.
Okay.
So I was just saying that sometimes we feel guilty about things in life, things that are going on in our lives, but that is so forbidden or prohibited. So we end up displacing it into feeling guilty about what we ate. That's all I want to say. And hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Christina again.
Hi, Christina. How are you doing?
I am having a lot of up and downs, which I think is understandable considering everything that's going on. And then also, I have a virtual meeting with my neurologist. And the reason I called, I wasn't planning on it, but I love hearing Carly Gosh, and I have another call where I would ask some questions about that. But I was wondering what happened to Nicole, and I just wanted, I don't know if she goes back and listens to these or continues to listen to the show, but I want to just tell you and her call was really, really helpful. I'm somebody, too, where I still have this deep-rooted thing of feeling bad for being hungry or for overeating or for eating certain foods. And I know for me, that's family. That is, it's an indoctrination. It was the way my family was. I think I personally feel it stems from sort of the Catholic virtues and Catholic roots about gluttony and, you know, all the other deadly sins. So I just want to say, wow, I feel for Nicole, but I also really am appreciative of, wow, I am not the only one, because when it's said out loud that, you know, how can I don't like myself for being hungry, that is absolutely an issue. And the whole, I was wondering what happened to her, because I knew she had been on Adderall before, and I'm listening to her, and I'm appreciative because in meeting with my neurologist, my neurologist, my other doctors have given me a laundry list. I actually listed them all of 21 different medications. I'm on zero. The reason partially because I did have a little bout with an antidepressant that I went on when my father passed for a short time. And yeah, I loved it because it would suppress my appetite, but then other side effects came in and I had to get off of it. I am just thankful because for me, and I do think I'm a woman of science. My degree is in biology, so I'm all for medications if they help people. But in my heart, I know that a pill is not going to fix, certainly not my issues with food or weight. And I've learned that from you. The other thing is it goes hand in hand with neurological issues. Neurological issues are really fascinating. And a lot of these medications that they prescribe to me actually make your pain worse. And that's why it's so difficult to go off of them. So I just wanted to thank you because I'm going to be calling my neurologist and saying, no, I don't need to be on anything. I go through physical therapy. I do meditation. I do therapy. I do physical therapy. I do mental therapy. And that has been what works for me because there is an undescribed hell in being stuck with a pill and trying to get off of it and loving it and hating it and then it causing its own issues, physical or mental or otherwise. So I did just want to share that and, again, express my thanks for Hugh, because it's tempting to read some of these medications and what they promise, but what I did was I went on user group forums online, and there are a lot of people. There are tens of thousands of people on some of these forums. So, for example, I was prescribed gabapentin. I was prescribed Cymbalta, and they go through and are talking about how awful the side effects are and how difficult it has been. So, for example, on Cymbalta, there are pellets that are within this tablet, and people are counting pellets and taking them all one at a time, and their doctors are unaware of what they're doing, and I think a lot of the medical community is very unaware of what is really going on because the research with these drugs is still limited. The sample sizes are small, and anyway, I think I've beaten a dead horse, but thank you, because I'm going to continue on. And who knows, maybe I'll have to take medication in the future because this neurological pain can be painful, but it does come and go, and there are other things to do. And that also goes hand in hand with my realizing I'd love for there to be a lovely pill to fix my weight and my thoughts about food, but gosh darn it, it doesn't exist, and it causes worse problems. That's just for me personally. So there's my any thoughts that you would have or comments would be totally appreciated.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts. And you're also talking about dependency and depending on something that isn't going to give you what you really want, which yes, you're talking about it from a scientific level and all of that, but from another level, you're saying, hey, I don't want to depend on something that's not going to give me exactly what I need. It's going to have side effects. It's going to have, it's going to be destructive in some way. And you've shared enough on this show and your prior calls that dependency could be very, on a person was also like people had to depend on you. You couldn't depend on someone else. So even that part of it, taking a pill that could activate conflict about dependency is something that might be happening. Feeling guilty about being hungry, and I think you really nailed it when you talked about the word gluttony, is so there's a fear of being greedy. There could be a fear of wanting too much in your body. So when you have a split and there's you and your body and you experience you and your body as if it's two separate entities, then you get mad at your body for being hungry. But when your body and you are one, it's, oh, I'm hungry. I need to take care of myself. I need some food. What do I need? Mm-hmm. So I would be mindful of a few things. Conflict over dependency, sense of split between yourself and your body, and what was the third one? Oh yes, and conflict over wanting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you nailed that.
I actually haven't seen it. I've only heard about it. That when Oprah was on, she was in a pageant, like a beauty pageant early on. Oprah, and they said to the contestants, okay, if you got $1 million, what would you do with that $1 million? And one after another, the contestants were like, well, I would create an orphanage in Ghana, and I would, you know, I would feed the hungry in South America, or, you know, I would, and one after another, all of these philanthropic, well, I would take this $1 million and I would do good with it. And when they got to Oprah, she said, $1 million, I'm going shopping. Right.
Right.
Girl, I'm going shopping. Are you kidding me? Because, because the reality is, wouldn't we all want to go shopping with that $1 million? Yeah, maybe we also want to give money to orphans in Ghana, but we're taught, don't want to go shopping. Don't want, don't yearn, don't want more. Settle for what you have. Don't want more. And then that becomes, don't be hungry for any, don't have too much of an appetite for life, or have it just in certain areas, be productive, but don't want something for you. And so hunger can remind us unconsciously of what we want, and that could trigger a fear of being greedy.
And I have to just interject one thing. So this made me, you know, my dad passed a while back. One of the things, and this is representative of how he was with me, I think, in my life. One of the things he would always tell me after I was married to my wonderful husband was, don't bother your husband. And that was said many times throughout, in just generalizing, and sometimes on a specific, like, oh, this, or oh, don't bother your husband. And this was an example of, you can see how women were treated in my family based on that statement, because you certainly didn't hear that. He didn't tell my brother, don't bother your girlfriend. But it comes down to just wanting too much. You are too much. You need to be pious. You, again, back to, I think, a lot of Catholic values. Boy, and I mean, I say it now, and I took it to heart, you know, and I was in my 30s. And then working and listening with you, it's like I could come up with 100 other things, but I thought that was a good example to throw out there. And that's my training. That is my training. Don't be a bother. Don't want anything. That is rough. That's heartbreaking. And again, I go to my stomach sort of hurts now after thinking about that. So am I on the right track of trying to dismantle that particular instruction?
I think your stomach, first of all, your mind is making a beautiful association to the sense of, you know, fear of greed is you're going to be too much. Don't bother your husband. You're going to be too much. And my stomach is hurting is what you said. My stomach's starting to hurt. Mm-hmm. That's code for that's painful. Well, you're talking about it in bodily terms, but really what you're saying is that's painful. And right. And these prohibitions against wanting and this fear of being too much can also be symbolically experienced as, oh, I'm going to be literally physically too much. Right. And so you know, and my stomach is starting to hurt. Oh, that's pain. You're feeling pain just having that memory of being admonished, not, oh, I'm so happy that you found this great guy and he makes you happy. Don't bother him.
The lottery with him, as if I had nothing to do with it, as if I don't have values or bring anything to the table. That was said repeatedly by both my entire family. I was going to say my mother and father, but that was my entire family. And like Carly Gash, I was always told, who do you think you are? You're the Queen of Sheba. So I'm seeing a lot of similarities with my family and Nicole's and Carly Gash's. It's a fascinating, it gives me pause. And I think that's the whole purpose.
Yeah. I think another family would say to your husband, wow, you won the lottery. You're so lucky you got our daughter. But when it's
that, couch- that never even crossed my mind. Anyone was like, you're saying that? I'm like, it didn't even register for me as an option. And that's sad. That goes to what I think of myself. Huh. I'm sad. Very, very sad.
It is painful. It is painful to have this message. It is painful then to not want to. Who would want to depend on anything or anyone if that's the way you're treated? Yeah. And so that painful dependency on a person can also get generalized to, I'm not going to depend on any kind of a pill. I'm with you, though. I think with like biofeedback can be amazing. You don't have to take, some people need medication. Not everybody needs medication. So I just want to say that you're doing what's right for you, and that's good. You're doing what's right for your body. Do what's right for your soul as well.
Yes, I'm working on it. I work on it. Thank you so much. I know your show's over also, but thank you again. Fantastic call. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm so glad you called, and I welcome you to call back and keep us posted.
I would love to. Thank you, Dr. Nina.
Okay. Bye, Christina.
Bye. Bye-bye.
And she is indeed correct. That is the end of our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. You can listen live on LA Talk Radio app or listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. If you love the show, please take a moment to give it a rating on Apple Podcasts. Just head over to Apple Podcasts and look for the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. It would mean so much to me if you would leave it a rating, because the more ratings that we get, the more it shows up in searches, the more people I reach, the more people I and we, because this is not just me, this is me and everyone who's calling in and writing in and asking questions, the more people we help. So thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will see you. As I'm losing my voice, I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.